This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Around this time, he joins us now with the SEC Network. Cole, how you doing, man?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Answer that question for us, Cole.
Which question?
Why does Malik Willis not get an opportunity to show what he can do more in games?
So I think you're trying to win football games, and you play your best option, and Jarrett Stidham's your best option from a ball distribution standpoint. I think if you're talking about, yeah, a guy who's maybe a little bit more athletic, okay, he gives you something there, but I don't think that just because a guy comes in against Alabama State and completes a few passes that all of a sudden he's your better option.
Yeah, well, we're not – I mean, this was a caller that called before, and I guess you didn't hear the question from him. He just said he believed like Willis was getting a raw deal.
No, and to say that Shivers is a better running back than Whitlow is also just ill-informed. It's just not a real thing. I mean, the guy's like 180 pounds. I mean, I've seen Rashard Lawrence grabbed him by his ankle with one arm and grabs him down when there's a hole that's as big to drive an F-250 through. I mean, the guy gives you some explosive things on the outside, but he's not capable of being an every-down running back in the SEC. It's not who he is.
Cole Kubelik joins us each week, three-man front host, also SEC Network and ESPN, courtesy of JD's in Tuscaloosa.
JD's right now featuring the Pendleton Whiskey. Pendleton is barrel-aged Canadian whiskey cut with water from Morgan's Fort Hood. This whiskey has an uncommonly smooth taste, rich, complex flavor. Stop by JD's today in Tuscaloosa to try a bottle of the Pendleton Straight or the Pendleton 1910 Rye Whiskey today.
Cole is on the Bud Light Hotline. It would be easy to look at what has happened in Knoxville and say, yeah, you know, Auburn's just not a great team this year. Kentucky, they're, you know, deflated and all of that. What is Jeremy Pruitt building there? Are we seeing signs of Jeremy Pruitt building?
Absolutely. I said before the season, if he gets them bowl eligible, you might as well just build a statue now, because it's I don't know, with that roster to be able to do what he's done. And I think Tyson Helton deserves a lot of credit too. The plans that he has put together. They lost the South Carolina game, but that was their first game without Trey Smith, and to see the way that he worked around the offensive line, the way that they moved the football, to find a way to get 200-plus rushing yards against Kentucky with that roster is very impressive. So I think you're seeing the fact that Jeremy's got a great staff that he put together. He's getting more out of his players. He's got guys who are buying in. And when he gets the kind of talent in that he wants, that he needs, that he can recruit, I think he can make Tennessee a legitimate player in the East again.
You know, we continue to talk about Georgia week in and week out, and they do seem to be getting better, and especially running the football and what Jim Chaney's been able to do with DeAndre Swift. I mean, he finally seems to have turned the corner the last couple of weeks, and obviously Holyfield, a nice 1-2 punch there. Is Georgia getting closer to being able to compete with Alabama?
I think so, Lance. I think the amount of weapons that they have, the different things that they can do offensively can help them a little bit, because they're going to be able to avoid the best part of Alabama's defense, which is the middle of Alabama's defense. They don't have to necessarily live there. They can get rid of the football quickly. They can attack you on the perimeter and be able to turn those into explosive plays. So that's a big advantage for Georgia. Defensively is where I still have the concerns, though. They're not the same team up front that they were a year ago. They're not dominant up front. They're last in the SEC in sacks. So if you're telling me the ways, and we sat down and talked to Dave Aranda this past weekend, and I just asked him about preparing for that team, and what do you attempt to take away from? And he's like, the first two things that you're going to have, if you're going to even think about beating Alabama, you better have guys who can cover, and you better have guys who can affect the pocket. And Georgia's got guys who can cover, yes. And I think the ways that you would feel they would have more advantages over Georgia to be able to be competitive with Alabama would be scoring. But I just don't know if up front they're good enough to realistically be a problem. And you saw Alabama against maybe the best front in the league this year go in on the first few drives and say, we're going to show you, we're going to prove to you that we can be a physical football team, that we can run the ball, that we can play ground and pound, and we can impose our will on you. Now, it didn't happen for the entire game, but they had some success with it early. So I just don't know if the Georgia front seven is good enough to really stymie that Alabama offense.
UAB against Texas A&M is obviously on paper looks like a pretty good little matchup. These other games, the Citadel, Idaho, Middle Tennessee, Chattanooga, Liberty, Rice, is there an embarrassing loss in there for the SEC anywhere in your book?
No, I don't really see one. I mean, I think Middle Tennessee can move the ball a little bit, but I don't think they find a way to win that game.
But what's wrong with Kentucky since that loss? I mean, the Tennessee game aside, it looks like that team has lost a little something. It could be just the competition, obviously, but it's hard to come back down to earth after a heartbreaking loss like Georgia had to be, right?
No, it's true, and I think they've lost a little bit of their edge. You know, I think they're a team that plays with a chip on their shoulder. And they were proving a lot of people wrong, and now maybe some of that doesn't exist, and they lack a little bit of motivation. I think depth is probably a real part of it as well. I mean, when you play their style football and you don't have a lot of bodies, that's going to catch up with you. I mean, they play a physical brand of ball on both sides, and if you don't have a lot of guys that you can roll in and out, eventually it's going to catch up with you. And you're going to struggle, and you're going to be tired and fatigued and beat up. So I think that's a small part of it. But that was the biggest surprise of the year in the SEC as far as I'm concerned. Not only just that Tennessee beat Kentucky, but the way they beat Kentucky. It was pretty impressive, and I still think you'll be able to see them be able to move the football on the ground and try to get Bunchy Stallings back close to 100%. That should help. And get Benny Snell rolling again. It's been a couple weeks since you've really had him look like the dominant force that he was early in the season.
Cole Kublick, SEC Network, ESPN, also three-man front with Aaron Suttles and Landrum Roberts, as soon as we're finished here, joins us each week on the Bud Light Hotline, courtesy of JD's.
JD's Market Spirits, located on Bryant Drive, just a couple of blocks from Bryant-Denny Stadium. Stop in and try the Pendleton whiskey. You're going to absolutely love it. This whiskey has an uncommonly smooth taste and rich, complex flavor, available in Pendleton Straight or Pendleton 1910 Rye.
When you watch Oklahoma, do they look like an offensive line that would hold up against a defensive front like they would see with a Georgia or a Clemson or an Alabama or a Michigan in the playoffs?
Yes.
They do.
I think Bobby Evans is left tackle number two in college football right now. I think Ben Powers and Drew Samia are going to be guards that play in the NFL. They are, I mean, they're top three, top five offensive line in college football. Probably top three offensive line in college football. I mean, I think you're talking Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia. Maybe you throw in a Notre Dame. Those are your top offensive lines in college football. So absolutely, I think that they could hold their own against those kind of defenses. Now, I mean, nobody's holding their own against Quinnen Williams. He's the best player on defense in college football. So that's kind of a different story in and of itself.
Hey, with this off week that everyone hates in the SEC, as a former player, when you guys went through this, do you get to be a college kid a little bit more, knowing that going into this weekend, more than likely, you're only going to be playing a half?
When you go into this weekend, what was the question, Lance? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You know, I mean, knowing that you're more than likely going to win games like this, with South Carolina hosting a Chattanooga, with Auburn hosting a Liberty, with Alabama hosting a Citadel, Florida hosting an Idaho, do you get to go out a little bit more and be more of a regular college student? Almost like a bye week. I know coaches don't want to hear that, but I mean, yeah. Truly, from a player's standpoint, did you guys treat it like that?
I don't know if you can't go out more, and especially not these guys these days, because, well, most coaches are out at the bars checking to see if kids are out, and I think with social media, people are going to know that you are out doing stuff you weren't supposed to do. I think that there is, here's the problem in a lot of these games, and people wondering, you know, why do sometimes teams look flat and not do certain things? There's a trickle-down effect from the top in, as far as preparation goes. So a lot of times in games like this, coaches know that they don't have to put forth the same amount of time, the same amount of effort to prepare. So instead of a 24-period practice, you'll go with an 18-period practice. Instead of an 18-period practice, you'll go with a 14-period practice. So you're getting out 25, 35 minutes early every day. Well, mentally, as an 18, 19, 20-year-old, you view that as, well, I don't have to go watch extra film, or I don't need to be at the facility to get extra treatment, or I don't have to do extra this, that. You don't have as many people on campus asking you about the game. You don't have as many family and friends coming to the game because it's not as big a game. Not many guys are asking you to trade tickets. They don't need extra tickets for their family. So I think all of that sort of subconsciously hits you, and it takes away from your preparation. And it takes away from sort of mentally where you are heading into a game like this. And then, yeah, if you want to go hang out, or if you want to stay out later, or if you want to stay and play more video games, or, you know, you want to try to go do different things during the week, which normally you wouldn't do because you would be preparing for a game. And all these kids have iPads at home now that they can watch film on. And by the way, the coaches can track who watches the most film and how much they watch. So they know if they're really dialed in and if they're preparing for a game. So It's definitely a trickle-down effect, Lance, from a preparation standpoint. It's not going to be where an LSU or a Tennessee or an Auburn or an Alabama were as far as how you prep.
Breaking news out of Boulder, Channel 7 News there in Denver reporting that Colorado and Mike McIntyre are parting ways at the end of the season. More on that coming up on the show and with three-man front with Cole Kublik later on. Everyone projecting Syracuse to beat Notre Dame, it seems, this week. Why do you think Notre Dame survives, or why do you think Syracuse upsets them, Cole? I don't know your opinion on the game, but it seems to be a sexy, scary Syracuse pick over Notre Dame. Do you like the Irish or the Orange, and why?
You know, I think Notre Dame win the game, and I think it's because they're a balanced football team, number one, and that's not just offensively. They play good defense. They play good defense up front and on the back end. And I think Notre Dame's a more physical team. And I think in a game like this, this late in the season, where maybe if Syracuse doesn't get the passing game going early, that might spell trouble for them as to what do they rely on after that, that all of a sudden Notre Dame's going to be able to rely on a defensive line, an offensive line, and a running game to play a physical brand of football. And that'll be too much for Syracuse late. Can they keep it close? Can they compete? Yes. Would it shock me if they pulled the upset? No, not really, because I think Dino's a great coach, and I think they've got some weapons on the perimeter. But I think Notre Dame's the deeper, more physical football team and just has that much more to play for.
All right, here Cole with Aaron Suttles and Langham Roberts coming up as soon as we're finished, 10-2 right here on Jocks. Thank you, Cole.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Cole Kublik was on the Bud Light Hotline. Don't forget Bud Light Game Night each Thursday back at Top Golf this week, and he is presented each week by our friends at JD's there in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, make sure you stop by and try out the Pendleton Whiskey, barrel-aged Canadian whiskey cup with water from Oregon's Ford Hood. Try a bottle of Pendleton Straight, the Pendleton 1910 Rye, available at JD's Market and Spirits, located Bryant Drive.
Follow Jim Dunaway on Twitter and Instagram, at Jim Dunaway.